I'm going to be preaching out of the book of Ezekiel and also the book of Isaiah. I want to read in the book of Isaiah first, chapter 58. And I've got four fellows here that's going to kind of help me with this because we're going to demonstrate something that goes on in the church and what's the matter with our churches and what will get this thing straightened out. How many would like to see everybody get back together like they was about 40 years ago? When you come to church, you wasn't worried about who was there and all this and kind of things. And you didn't look at somebody and say, well, they've done this and they've done that and they've done something else. And we had a unity there. And it brought people together and they really had the power of God in their lives in those days. And I'd like to bring this back, wouldn't you? That this is what I wanted to minister on this morning. And I'd like to turn first to the 58th chapter of the book of Isaiah, beginning with verse 9. And I've got a title to this message this morning. It says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shalt thou light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as noonday. That's pretty light, isn't it? And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called, here's the name that we ought to be called, the restorer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. How many believes that we need to get the breaches restored? And it says that's what you will be called. How many wants to be called a restorer? Not a tear-upper, but a restorer. You see, I've studied this, like I said, I've been here 55 years getting it all this built. You know, as long as we've had a tent out there someplace or other, and just an old building to worship in, why, it didn't nobody think too much about it. But then when God really began to move and we began to establish churches like in Colorado and Oregon and Washington and Florida and Texas and Mississippi and all over the United States and here, then we had people that took tension. And they came in, and when they came in, they began to say, if it was me, I would do it that way. Or if it was me, I would do it that way. Now, where was they when the building was being nailed together? Where was they when the devil don't want to build anything. He wants to take over. You see, the devil don't create anything. He takes over and changes things around, so he doesn't create anything. And that brings me to a scripture here. I've been preaching a lot on two words, they and us and them. And it says here in 1 John chapter 2, and I want to read this here just a minute here, and verse 19. And when they don't get their way, guess what they do? They go out from us. Now, every church has got a whole lot of people that's around in your community that they've went out from you. And you guess what they're doing? They're talking about you because they didn't agree with you. And the reason they didn't agree with you was because they hadn't put anything in there. They just come along and thought they could take it over. Now, I'm getting to something here. So they went out. And notice what it says here in 1 John 2:19. They went out from us. Now, who's us? I counsel you that in your church, there's a us crowd and then there's a them crowd. Now, us, who is us? There's faithful ones that built the church. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, unto them that have obtained like precious faith with us. With us. See, it started when God said, let us make man in our own image. Then we've enjoined ourselves with them, and that makes it us. Now, it says in Romans 1:28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God turned them over to a reprobate mind. They, not us, How many can truthfully say, you've kept the faith? Paul said, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all them that love his appearing. The faith. Now, are we a builder? Or are we somebody that just goes along and sees something that's going pretty good, and we want to take it over? Now, you got a lot of those kind of folks around. So they, notice 1 John 2, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. Now all these people that's running through the country, rabble-rousers and causing trouble, now I want you to identify them. They went out from us, from your church. How many pastors did we have? Whoa, look here, we got several pastors. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they would have been of us, they would have continued with us. So they're out there tearing up and making a breach. They were not of us. Now we go back to Isaiah, chapter 58. And if thou shalt draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy thy afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity. How many want that? Let your light so shine in obscurity, and thy darkness be as noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. That's what we need, ain't it? Everybody's listening to everybody, but the Lord wants to guide you. God wants to guide me. And satisfy thy soul in the drought. That's pretty good, isn't it? And make fat thy bones. He wants to bless you. And thou shalt be like the watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. How many people do you know that can identify with this? They've went through everything and not failed. They've answered every test that God allowed to be put upon them, but they never failed. They come through it in flying colors. That's what Paul's saying. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only, but for all them that love his appearing. I want to shake you this morning to realize where we're at. Our government is in that shape. Our churches are in that shape. Our nation is in that shape. The world is in that shape. But love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We can't do that. We're going to have to come back where we love God with all thy heart and keep all his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. If we love him, his commandments are not grievous. And it says, and they that shall be of thee, now if they're us. Oh, I'll preach a message on this. Thus is they. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Anybody knows that's a homosexual? The worldly crowd today, they don't want nothing to do about God. They don't even want to mention him when they're in some kind of public place. Now they've passed a law that they don't have to say, in God we trust, when you swear into the military as an officer. See, no, they didn't like to retain God, and they're not. God turned them over to a reprobate mind to do the things that are unseemly. So that's where it's at. And they that shall be of thee shall build up of the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up foundations of many generations, and they'll be called. Now here's what I want to tie you in with. They shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. I want to ask you, everyone that's sitting here right now, will you take this title with me, a repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in? I don't know what side you've been on. Maybe you've helped tear things up and didn't even realize it. A lot of folks do a lot of things in ignorance. I want you to notice here, the repairer of the breach. Now I want to talk about a breach here just a minute before we go any further. How many knows what a breach is? A breach is a hole in something or a gap that other things can get through. How many knows that you made God a promise? How many folks do you know that haven't had breached that promise? You know, I remember when I was young, if a man promised a woman he would marry her, and he didn't, they could sue for breach of promise. Breach of promise. How many sat here this morning that have breached the promises. It's what we promised God. I had one man clapping back there. Breached that promise. Now, what is a breach? I looked it all up. I got my dictionaries out and I looked it all up. I wanted to be sure what a breach is. A breach leaves a hole or a gap that the enemy may enter in. A breach is a violation as of the law or obligation or promise or contract or vow. Write that down. A breach is a violation as of a law or obligation or promise. Now, some of you don't want to hear this, I know. But let an old man that's been in this thing 55 years and has built something. My record don't show defeat. You can let yours show defeat. Mine's not going to show defeat. I used to use a song in my theme. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I got on the righteousness of God. I'm going to win every battle that I fight. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Listen to it. A breach, remember all this. A breach is a violation as of the law or obligation or a promise, such as a contract or a vow. When you violate that, you've breached. And the enemy can come in any way because it's a breach of contract, a breach of promise, a breach of a vow, a breach of an obligation. Oh, yeah, they put down ministers, put down on their paper. Yes, I'll send my tithes monthly. I'll attend meetings. I'll do this and do that when they get a license. And that's all you ever hear of it anymore. Now, how many think that you can have confidence in a preacher like that? There's going to be some drastic changes made in Bible way. I mean, some drastic changes. We're going to do what we say we're going to do, or we're going to be O-U-T. And I'd like for you to tell all them that's not here this morning that that's what it's going to be. We're going to fulfill our obligations. When we make a promise, we're going to do it. When we make a vow, we're going to do it. When we make a contract, we're going to keep that contract. Whatever we said, we're going to do. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended and the flood came, the house was stood because it was founded upon a rock. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, they have breached. And doeth them not. I liken him to the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And when the rain came and beat upon that house, it failed. It couldn't stand because of that breach. A breach. Well, okay, let's go a little further. A breach is a gap in a solid structure. When you get a gap in a solid structure. Now, I've got four men that's going to come down here. And they're going to stand and they're going to form a circle. These four men are going to represent us. They're big boys. They're strong men. I want to get right over here in the center of this place here. And I want you to form a circle. And clasp your hands together tightly. They're in unity. They're as one. They have power to resist. They've joined forces together. Now, I'm going to try to breach that. I can't do it. No matter how hard I try, I can't get in. I can't breach it. Now, you look across here, and you get in an argument with him or a division with him for just a minute. All right, now, you're taking care of your argument, and you're not taking care of keeping the breach out, so you drop your hand. And what does Hebrews say? Lift up the hands that hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Now, here I come along. There's good things in there. I'm in here. I'm the wrong thing in here. I'm going to take over. If I was you, I would do this and I would do that. This church ain't being run just exactly like it ought to be. But if I was you, you're on the board, ain't you? Yeah, you're on the board. Well, I'll get you on my side. And you, let me tell you, see, these two's already out of slavery. Anyhow, they ain't got nothing. They just stand there and look and gossip. Well, looky there, brother. That brother Tooley, he failed. That's what you'd say? And you'd say, oh, looky there. That brother here, he's failed. That's a breach. Now, what are we going to do? You're going to be a restorer of the breach? You go over there, and you come over here in the middle, and you pray through. They're restoring the breach. What's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to come back out here and do what? They're going to join hands again. There's no breach here anymore. No breach. Now we got unity again. And I got, somehow or other, I got thrown out of the picture. Now let me see. I got to get back in there. I got to get back in there. No matter what I do, I can't get in. I blaspheme. I talk about them. And I hurt them. I do everything. I can't get in. You know why? Because they're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. They put on the whole armor of God. There is, therefore, no more breach. We got to get our act together, church. If you've got aught against somebody, go to them. If they've got aught against you, go to them. We got breaches everywhere. That's what revivals are all about. The restore of the breach. All right. So you guys are going to be now, you're going to be with me as a restorer of the breach. You're not going to fail me. You're not going to fail me. This is a promise. You're not going to fail me. And you're not going to fail me. How many of you is not going to fail me? You're going to be a restorer of the breach instead of creating breaches and trouble in the church. You're going to have to quit that. You're destroying God's people. You're destroying the churches. You're destroying Bible Way. Somebody said, I wish it was destroyed. Well, you don't know what price you'd probably have to pay if you got it destroyed. Because God's looking down on the scene, church. He's not blinded to this thing. He knows everything about the breach. But man, praise the Lord. Just go ahead and stand there a while. I like that. When you've done all to stand, stand. Having your loins girt about with the truth. You're standing. You're standing on the promises of God. How many's getting this? So here's what happened. A gap. How many seen what a gap will do? Huh? How many seen that a gap is a hole in a solid structure. How many knows? Here's some more meanings of that. A disruption of friendly relationship. You know, I know people that if they see two people that's getting on a good friendly relationship and in the things of God, they'll do everything they can to destroy that relationship. Because of what? Jealousy. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. That's the only thing I can find in the Bible that's as cruel as the grave is jealousy. Oh, what a terrible thing jealousy is. It causes more breaches. It causes more gaps. It causes more because people are jealous. I don't want him or her to get too friendly with it. They're on my side. We're all supposed to be on the same side, brother. We don't have sides in the church. We're on his side, Christ's side. It's us and him. I hope I'm getting this over like God just give it to me. Another thing that a breach is an estrangement. You've heard of husband and wife being estranged. That means separated. When they made a vow that wouldn't happen. Huh? They stood right up before the preacher. And he said, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? And so on and so forth. Until death do you part? I do. Do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband to love, honor, and obey? But still we got family problems that's got a breach because the wife won't come in line with the church and what they said there. And the husband won't come in line when they went before the man to be married. And you see, when we let that breach come in, guess what? Everything begins to go wrong. Here we go. I didn't intend to get in this, but the last two or three years I've seen several young preachers fail because of family problems. I'm sick of family problems. Preacher, if you can't run your own house, what are you doing trying to take care of the house of God? If you can't take care of your own house, do you need to go pray through and what you need to do is get rid of that breach there. Don't get rid of the wife. Sit down and get rid of the problem. Look across the table at her. Say, now look, I love you. And she'll say, I love you. Well, what are we sitting here arguing about? Let's get rid of this breach and let's go on. I've dealt with it. It's destroyed young ministers, good preachers. Destroyed their family. Just the last three or four years, it's getting seems like worse all time. It's a breach. It's a breach of contract. You ain't doing what you said you'd do when you stood there and so madly in love. Come on, don't sit there and look at me with your two eyes. Come on, can you say, man, I'll tell you what, it's time that we stand up and preach the gospel That's what Paul said. Preach the gospel. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves the teachers having itching ears. And that's where we're at. They're trying to replace the anointing with rock music and the contemporary and this and that. Come on, can you? They're trying to replace a story for the anointing. I'll tell you how. It said in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He got rid of the breach. Some folks are sick because of a breach. Some folks are poor because of a breach. Some folks are down and out because of a breach. And in a strange way. Huh? You know, I've even seen some in the last couple of years, a couple of different young ministers. You know, they didn't want nobody to know that there was an estrangement there, that they were separated, really. So she stayed in their home. And when he came in, he stayed in a trailer or something out back, all to keep it hid that there's a breach. Guess what? Everything that's done in secret will come to light. What else is a breach? A disruption of friendly relationship. Somebody that disrupts a friendly relationship gets something going. It's a big tale going. Have you heard? Well, most of it we don't want to hear. Huh? Did you know? So a promise or a contract. Now let's go just a little bit further. An illustration. An argument caused a breach between them. Huh? You know what? It's easier to win a city than it is a man that's in that state. Bible teaches it. Easier to win a city than to win a man that's disturbed and all those kind of things. He's hard. Church people are hardening the hearts of people out there where they can't get saved anymore. By their way of living, their way of doing, their way of thinking, their way of acting. An argument caused a breach between them. That's the illustration. Have people violated their obligation to the Lord, or they violated the promise of the Lord? Have we done that? They vow to God, they've violated the vow. Lord, from now on. How many? I remember when I was young in the evangelistic field, you know, to get out there, I noticed the same one, a lot of them in the churches, would be down to altar praying too. I'd go there 1 year, and the next year I'd go back, and same one. You know what? They just got rid of the conviction and didn't get rid of the breach. Conviction. You know, a lot of folks said, I don't want to go to that church. I don't feel right. You know, they get convicted. Conviction. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He took away the breach. And then we can say now, I'm free from the fears of tomorrow. I'm free from the sin of the past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. Thank God I'm free and free at last. He took away the breach. If we'll just sit, let's go a little bit further. Have we violated a vow to God or to your companion or to your neighbor? Is there a gap between us, or God or a brother? Is there a gap? Is there somebody that you don't want to be around? Somebody that you've got something against? Are you holding a grudge? That's a breach. You can never be fully powerful to keep that enemy out as long as that breach is there. Never. You'll be weak. Have you violated the promise to the Lord? A vow to God of companion. Has a disagreement caused a breach between our relationship with God and our fellow man? Boy, Christ. See, I've got the ability to have you run now and jump in the view if I just preach the right thing. But I have to preach to you the truth, which somebody said, you're quiet. That's not bad. That's good. Hopefully you're listening. All seven churches in the book of Revelation, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Not hear what church has to say, but what the Spirit has to say to the church. We need to hear what the Spirit has to say to us. And you know what he's saying now? There's a lot of things he's saying, stop it. Is there a gap between us and God or a brother? Is there a disagreement which caused a breach between us and our relationship with God and our fellow man? A restorer is what we want to get to be of the past to dwell in. A restorer of the breach and past to dwell in. Our church relationship with others and our marriage relationship and our business dealings and most of all with God who made us a promise and we made him a promise. We made a contracted promise that we would serve him. Nehemiah, when he came into Nineveh, the breach had started years before that, and when he got there, all the walls were tore down. So he began to get different groups together. Good was the best illustration I know of. And one of them built a sheep gate, another built a fish gate, and another built this part of the wall, and another built this over there, and pretty soon they joined them together and closed the gap. Now listen, they had nothing but rubble. Do you think you look at everything and say, it's so bad, I'm just discouraged, don't think? That's exactly where the devil, that's another breach. When you get discouraged, you make the devil shout. Now, the parable of the seed, Brother John was preaching on here the other night, done a fine job. Young preacher, done a good job. But the seed, which is the wheat seed, it's designed to overcome the test. How many know Jesus is an overcomer? He's the seed. Huh? He's not defeated, he's overcomer. He said to his father, he said, my father is always with me, for I do always the thing that pleases him. There's no disagreement between me and the Father. I'm doing what he told me. There's no breach there. I'm doing it. And then he kneels down and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He was going to have to die. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I'm going to take care of the breach. There'll be no breach between me and thee. We'll be together. Breach. People have caused and opened the breach. And on. In Ezekiel chapter 22, they're talking about a time when it looks like it's kind of like our nation and everything. And it says, verse 28, and her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. How many knows what untempered mortar is? That's something that won't hold. It'll fall out. Seeing vanity and divining lies unto them. Saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. They say, here's what thus saith the Lord, but the Lord didn't say it. That's them saying. How many's ever heard some of that lately? Yea, 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 thus saith the Lord. God didn't have anything in the world to do with it a lot of times. And I have people ask me now, was that of God? Well, you're supposed to have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. Don't you know the difference between the Spirit of God and the devil? Shame on you if you don't know the difference. When they begin to give out that message, you can tell whether it's of God or not. If you've got an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say, you don't just listen to that junk. You've got to have the real ear. How does that ear come? Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's more of the Word of God gives you a hearing ear. And the more of the Word of God you got on the inside of you, the ability you have to have a greater anointing. Somebody said, I got enough to please me, but have you got enough to please God? That's the key to it right there. I think we're living in a time us preachers are going to have to step up to the plate and say, come on, devil, we're going to take it. You have to start in the ministry. You think wishy-washy preacher, he's wishy-washy everywhere else, too. Huh? Well, I'll let him get away with that, and I'll let him get away. No, we got to stop. If it ain't right, it'll form a breach in your church. It'll form a breach in your families in the church. It'll form a breach in the spirit in the church. Come on, can you say amen? It said, and her prophets have daubed her with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. Yeah, well, we got lots of that, haven't we? Verse 29, and the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy, yea, and have expressed the stranger wrongfully. Verse 30, and I sought for a man, God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the head and stand in the gap. Now, if we've got an empty spot there, somebody has to stand in, come up,
and take their place. Somebody has to step up to his place.
Stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. That destruction wouldn't come, but he said, I found none, not one. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord God. So how many see where we're at right now? Isaiah 58, beginning with verse 9. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old ways. I want to get a consensus this morning with how many do you think you can stand in this and help us with this? Help your pastor with it. There's not a pastor here that can't identify with what I'm preaching this morning. Everyone, how many pastors can identify with what I'm saying? An evangelist, too. Look at it. Every one of them that can identify with what I'm saying. All of them. This is a need for the church for completing that. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and shall raise up foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called, here's what I want you to say, the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the path to dwell in. A repairer of the breach and the restorer of the path to dwell in. How many knows the old path in the 16th chapter of Jeremiah? The seek ye out the old path, the old way, the old path. We need to get back to the old path and listen to what he's saying here and what we're going to be called. If you're a gossiper, you ought to change your way over to a restorer of the breach, a restorer of the gap, a restorer. Change over. It's easy. Just put one and start the other. When you see two people that's at odds, say, well, let's put that together. Let's go to them. Let's pray this out. Let's wax together. Let's stand in the gap. Now, I'm the prodigal son, and I'm coming home. Now, I can't get in there in this faith until I've done something. What do I must do? He done that in the whole thing. He came to himself, right? He came to himself, and he said, I know what I'll do. I will arise, and I'll go to my father. In my father's house, the service stuff may be, not out in the open. So he came to himself. He didn't get in there until he done something else. He went home to the Father and he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm not worthy to be called a son. Just let me be a servant. The Father said, bring the robe, the best robe. Put it on him. Bring the shoes. Bring the ring. Bring the fatted calf. My son that was lost is found. My son that was dead, he's alive. Now I knock on the door. Can I come in? No longer a breach there for me, because I've done what I'm supposed to do. Done it outside there, and now I can get in. How may I get you? A lot of folks trying to get in just don't know how to get in. You got wherever you're at, if you're in the hog pen, you need to get out of the hog pen. You need to get the right mind before you get out of there. And you'll have to have the right mind before you ever go home. Come on, can you say amen? We're going to have to get back to the old past.
I said I'll spend half of my money. My wife, heart's been broken. And then when they do, they always are laid off onto something. It's either their wife, their husband, the church, association, or maybe the guilt is on our shoulders. It's on the shoulder of the person. And I've seen in the last 2 years two great young people go back to all kinds of junk. Drugs, alcohol, every kind of a thing. They were free from now. What have they got to do? They're in the hog pen. What are they going to do? I mean, no, tell me. Huh?
They got to realize they're in the hog pen. They got to realize that they can. There is a way back. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but that way is wrong. And Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's a way. We need to always be searching for a way.
When I got this message, and really God really implanted it in my spirit, I've preached a little on these lines for a long time, but when God really put this in my spirit a couple of weeks ago, when I really got down to business with it, I said, oh my, this is the way. This is the way.
They shall be called what? A what? A repairer of the breach and a restorer of the past walking. See, in other words, God didn't think they had past fit to walk.
And he knew they had to restore the breach. Put this before you. Will you make God a vow, as long as me, God doesn't make this vow, that we're going to get people to restore and get back to the particular war? I'm going to ask you to do that. And that's a vow. This is really serious. A very serious thing. Very instrumental to your church, your family, your wife and your husband, your church. It's very instrumental to Bible Way Association. Because when people, when those ministers out there don't keep their vow, guess what that means? That means a problem that we have, and we have to get it back together. Somebody has breached their vow. One of the most serious things that ever was. Now, it doesn't make any difference if you're saying, well, look there. There's the school there. It's got a crowd. It's got rock music. It's got this. It's got that. It's got something else. Yeah. It's got the devil in it too. And that's a breach for sure. Amen. I ask you to pray right now. Don't raise hands or anything. But I want you to pray. I want you to pray for our churches, our ministers, our congregation, and Bible Way in ours. Pray for us. We have are facing things that are very serious things. We have done our part. You can look around here. And see, this building right here sits right now on a place where there's nothing but brush and trees. Youth dorm the same way. And then it doesn't stop here. The churches that we've started out all over the nation, some of them forgot and brought a breach. Let's all pray right now. I want you to really pray and ask God. Because, Lord, I want to be a restorer of breach and a restorer of the path for people to walk. Father, as we come to you just now, we thank you for this eternity-bound congregation. We thank you for every ministry that's here, every church that's been represented here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Ghost. We ask you, Lord, to touch the hearts and the lives. Lord, it has to be from the heart. And if they don't do it from the heart, it's not going to work anyhow. But, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to place in the heart of every individual that's gathered here this morning to be a restorer, whatever church you go to, to be a restorer of the breach and clearing out the paths for people to walk in. And it's the path, the way, our new name. Let our name be a restorer, not a destructor, but a restorer, restoring the way. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to do this in Jesus' name. Lord, if there's one here this morning that their heart is not right with God, Lord, let them come to this altar and make it right. Praise God. Just keep praying. As they sing this song, I feel like these people need to get up out of your seat. And you need to bring your problem to the Lord. Your problem is some kind of a breach. It has to be or you wouldn't have it. It's a breach of something.
I'm free from the guilt of the past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord. I'm free at last. Would everybody just rise, CC, and come down here and pray a few minutes? Free from the fear of tomorrow.
Oh, yes,
I'm free from the guilt of the past.
Oh,
I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord. I'm free at last.
Oh, yes, I'm
free from the fear.
Get free
of tomorrow.
Oh, yes, I'm
free from the guilt
of
the past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord. I'm free at last.
Oh, let him have his way.
I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free at last.